Next presenter is Melissa DeAnker. She is a doctoral student in education and community-based action research at the University of Cincinnati. Her primary research interests include youth participatory action research, feminist and critical qualitative methods, and community academic partnerships. Within these methods, Melissa is interested in explorations of voice, agency, resilience, and the related educational and health outcomes among immigrants and vulnerable populations. And the title of her presentation is Lessons Learned from the Girls Action Team Program, the intersection and connection of self, school, and community.
Good morning. All right, I am Melissa. I'm from the University of Cincinnati. Dr. Vaughn, who worked on this project extensively and is responsible for the formation of the partnership, is in the audience. And our other partner, Aaron Wagner, also at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, could not be with us today. I have no relationships to disclose. So this project is just a little background before I get started into the theoretical framework, is about a girls' after-school, in-school program to sort of promote relationship building and conversations that the girls wouldn't otherwise have outside of this environment. So the framework that we've used throughout the project is based in community-based participatory research. We want to completely include the girls, the school, the administrators at the school in our research, in our work, and in our program. So community-based participatory research, which I'm sure most of you know all about, is focused on a collaborative and equal partnership throughout all stages of the research process. So when we're developing a question, when we're collecting data, when we are analyzing data and disseminating results, the community partners are all involved. We're really interested in this idea of co-learning, that I have a lot to learn from the girls that I'm working with, and it's a process of reciprocal knowledge building. And also, finally, that we're addressing locally relevant problems. So I don't know what these girls want to learn about, and I don't know what these girls want to address, but through conversations with them and working with them, we're able to address issues that are really important in their lives. So this is just an example of a model that can be used to understand the stages or the phases in conducting CBPR. And the two most important aspects, in my opinion, are the first one that's circled in black, forming the partnership, and then also what's in the heart in the middle, so maintaining the partnership. A lot of what we focus on, and I think what I focus on when working with these girls, is establishing a relationship of trust and a relationship of care. Where the girls know that I'm there, and that I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be there every day or every week, and I'm really interested in learning from them. So the forming of the partnership, and then throughout the entire process, when assessing strengths, when designing a research question, when collecting data, when disseminating data, all of this is centered around maintaining and evaluating the partnership. So making sure that relationship is strong. So our specific partnership, we are currently in our fifth year, and it involves a collaboration between my university, a pediatric hospital, and then this K through 8 magnet school. The magnet school is a bilingual immersion program, so they have a Spanish-English program, and up until this current year, they also had a French-English program. So the population that attends the school is primarily African American, West African immigrant, and Latino. I believe the Latino population last year was about 34%. In addition, it's also a low resource school, so almost entirely free and reduced lunch. Having issues maintaining resources, maintaining the arts programs within the school. So just to give you a little bit idea of what it looks like, the library is currently a classroom, not a library. The art room is currently a classroom, not an art room. And the students aren't receiving those types of extracurricular, they aren't receiving those programs within their regular school day. So at the beginning of the partnership, there was a needs assessment conducted with the youth in the school, with the teachers, and with the parents and community members to figure out what the school really needs, what sort of the overarching research question, I suppose, could be. There's also a photo voice project related to the same types of issues. So what came out of that needs assessment was this need for a third space or an extra space where girls can come together and talk to each other outside of the classroom. So we have this need for stronger relationships and for conversations and for positive relationship building that exists outside of the regular classroom day. So in response to that needs assessment, we developed a participatory after-school program that's focused in the arts as a way for these girls to learn forms of self-expression and self-development, a little bit of capacity building so that they're able to express themselves and take part in social action projects. The first few years of the program, our focus was on different modes of arts expression. So we had a painting group and a photography group and different sorts of groups that were focused on creating the social action project. In last year, which I'll talk about in a little bit, the model was a little bit different, but still an arts focus. We're working on a project to sort of improve ourselves or improve our community. The program over the years has involved about 30 girls, give or take. We do have problems with attendance, so some days it's 20 and some days it's 40. But overall, about 30 girls, mostly in the fourth through fifth grades. And we meet once a week. So here's some pictures of my girls. The bottom two pictures were team building activities, working on communication and trust. The top left picture is from a skit that we did in one of our Change the World projects that was specifically about the environment and littering. And then the picture on the right is some girls participating in a mind mapping activity where they are brainstorming ideas related to the cycle of violence. And I'll talk about that again in a little bit. So our two main projects, during the 2011-2012 school year, we had a theme of improving yourselves, your school, and your community. And this is when each group was expected, so the photography group, the drama group, the writing group, was expected to come up with some sort of social change project. And it was left very much open to what they wanted to do, true to CBPR. So these projects, in general, we had several group murals. We had a video voice project, a skit that was created in response to their desired issue. And then the 2012-2013 school year was a Problems of the World video voice project. And this was a very, very true to video voice as a methodology. So in the picture before, you saw the mind mapping on the top right. And the girls selected issues that they identified in their school, in their community, and in the world globally. So some of these issues that they identified were racism, and they were gun violence, and they were child abuse, and they were bullying. And I think it's really important to think about that because these are fourth graders saying that the most important problem in their neighborhood is gun violence or it's child abuse. So they're pretty big ideas for these girls to grapple with. We went through the process of creating the videos, writing a skit, practicing the skits, and then producing the actual film. If I had more time, I would love to show it to you. To evaluate the program, we've used a few methods, focus groups, semi-structured interviews, reflection forums, and then a group-level assessment this last year. And the results of these qualitative methods have demonstrated a few outcomes. So one, in order to have success, that we have to have real goals, both as facilitators and for the girls. Group cohesiveness, we've had some problems with girls getting along and with developing a real supportive environment But when we're able to do that, the program is more successful. And also that one of the benefits of the program is increased self-expression. This last year with the group level assessment, we've had a lot more expressions of power, of control, of engagement as a result of this video voice project. So I think because the project was more focused and more directed, we had real goals in mind that the girls were able to express, well, I had control in designing this project. I had control in writing the skit and producing the skit. I had a real part in it. And also importantly, that the girls had and identified positive relationships among each other and also with the adult mentors or facilitators. Some of our challenges that we're still dealing with, and the list looks long to me, but attendance and retention, keeping girls interested. So we meet during their specials period. So sometimes they really want to go to gym, or sometimes they really want to be with their friends. So it's kind of hard to keep girls interested in that way. We've had issues with transportation when we met after school. A lot of the girls don't have rides home, so we were dependent on the girls who stayed in the after-school program. So we weren't reaching as many students as we really wanted to. Another issue that comes up a lot, and I think many people involved with CBPR might be able to identify with, is this contradiction between service delivery and partnership. So is what we're doing truly partnership? And how do we make sure that the school is invested and the girls are invested so that they really have power over what's happening in their school, over what's happening in the program? And part of that is the next point, funding, that perhaps if we had the funding to support someone from the community being a real integral part of our partnership, then it would be more effective, because right now we're relying on volunteers, and that's not really sustainable for a lot of people. And then my favorite category, the naysayers and the haters. We have people within my own program, people that we work with, that aren't really convinced that the Girls Action Team is worthwhile. That, you know, we're just going in there and we're doing stuff and we're working with these girls, but is what we're doing important? And I can say from my own experience that I see changes in the girls and I see changes in their relationships, but is that something that I can really demonstrate in a measurable way? And how do I find the right sort of ways to talk about it with the community and with fellow researchers to really say, no, this is important, and the girls are having increases in autonomy and control, and they feel like they have a powerful place within this small space. So our future directions, regardless of the naysayers, hopefully this will happen. This year, the girls will be critiquing and responding to the videos. So last year they produced them. Now I want to take the videos back, have the girls respond to what they think about the videos, if the message was clear enough, what they would do differently next time. We'd like to have public dissemination, whether within the school or within the community, to share their videos. And then I'd also like to lead a collaborative and student-led research project within the school. So I'd love to train my girls in collecting data and something that's interesting to them, something they think is important in relation to these problems, and help them to collect and analyze the data. And then also in terms relating back to sustainability, to build the capacity within these girls to actually be the leaders of the program. So to have them facilitate the groups, to have them lead the activities and the workshops rather than myself or another adult facilitator. That's all I have.